Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you who our special guest is this hour. She's our good friend, Natalia Lee. Natalia's been with us several times before. She's the author of Miracles for the Entrepreneur, a must-have funny book for anyone in business, and we've talked about that on the show before. But her new book, which is the one I'm really excited about, is called Revenge of the Computer Widow. And on the front is a computer. On the front of this book is a computer that's where the monitor has been smashed in. It's for computer lovers and Luddites, and we'll get her to tell you what a Luddite is in a minute if you don't already know. Natalia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. And you were with us a month or so ago, and we got started talking about your book and the survey that you did that's basically the foundation for this book. But in case someone just tuned in, didn't hear the other visit, give us just a quick idea about what prompted you to do this.
My husband is a garden variety computer geek. He works by day as a consulting geologist, but at night he spends a lot of time on the computer. He must write code in about 3 languages by now, play a lot of computer games, and it got me thinking, am I the only one that's going through this, talking at the back of the head?
The only one? You mean the only widow?
Yes. And I found out, well, let's get scientific. Let's do a survey. Let's get some facts. And it just, the project grew like a mushroom. I contacted over 800 persons directly by telephone and email, and the surveys posted at the website www.geekculture.com.
Geek Culture, G-E-E-K, culture.com.
So they have the website. You can fill it in online if you're a computer crazy person. And then this has been a 2-year project. I actually have over 500 responses. And most of the information was gathered by telephone interviews, actually.
Mm-hmm.
80% was telephone interviews and interviews in person.
Folks, this is a fun book. It's a very informational book. It's a watershed book in a lot of ways. I think it is. Because of some of the information that Natalia revealed and uncovered about people who use computers, about geeks, about computer geeks, and people who might not think that they're geeks, but probably are. I tell you, one of the things that we want to talk about today is who become techies. Who are the techies, and why do they become techies?
Well, their parents tell me when they were young, they're the kind of little boys and little girls that took apart things, whether it be alarm clocks, just anything they can get their hands on.
Just to see what would make it tick.
To see what would make it tick. They enjoy problem solving. They're just crazy about solving problems. It's one of their passions.
I used to do that. I used to take clocks apart and things like that, and I could take them apart beautifully, but I never got them all. And I could put them back together, but I always had an extra piece or two left over.
Well, some of these people started at a very early age. A mother told me by the time her son had, the Fisher-Price toys are supposed to be one of the best on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And she found, by the time they made it to checkout, he had taken the package off and ripped the toy apart. And one father told me he was so fed up with his son, and it's probably not a very safe thing to do, but he brought in car parts for his 3-year-old son to take apart and put back together with a screwdriver.
Hmm.
So they have this analytical mind. They like to solve problems. I also found a very strong correlation between people who played musical instruments and had an affinity for computers. And there is this, computers is quite a bit different than engineering. With engineering, you have the codes, the guidebooks all set, the rules and regulations, so everything is proved and tried methods. But with computers, it's evolving so rapidly, almost an art. That's what a lot of people have told me. You've got to be intuitive and creative.
The children, you were telling us what the what computer geeks were like as children. Did they have a lot of friends? Were they well liked in school, or did they try to? Or were they more reclusive and more loners?
Well, I definitely found that computer people, there was a tendency for them to be more introverted than extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of it, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. One computer programmer I talked to, he said to me, you know, when his parents were 10, they got a divorce and they gave him a computer. So you can see the psychological.
Right.
And I have a really good friend who's programmed in 15 languages, and he's definitely shyer than most.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever childhood circumstance. They tend, like, if you compare computer people that don't work in the information technology sector, but they spend a lot of time on computers after 5, you compare them with the people that work in the information technology sector, there is a tendency for the non-techie computer user to be more involved in game team sports, like baseball, hockey, soccer, whereas the high-tech professional, if he's going to engage in sports, it's probably not a team sport, maybe swimming, jogging, cycling, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. But I also found that it was the extroverted techie that became more successful.
And that's not a contradiction in terms, is it?
Yeah. Well, the
Some people would say that an extroverted techie or an extroverted geek, computer geek, is a contradiction in terms.
Yes, like oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to be successful in business, you have to communicate, you have to manage people, you have to motivate them, and the extrovert would probably do better than the introvert. In fact, many of the introverted programmers and systems analysts, they're, after 20 years, they're quite happy doing the really hardcore techie stuff.
I have a friend whose son is a techie, and he's very garrulous, very outgoing, and has a good sales ability. And the people who hired him told him that one of the reasons they hired him was because it was very unusual to find someone like him. Someone who was pretty much of a geek, but liked to meet people. Now, stand by, Natalia. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to take a break in just a few seconds, and we'll be back in a few minutes with our good friend, Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Wit. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yeah. All right. We are back. It's 24 after. And our good friend is Natalia Lee. She's our guest, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow, How to Get What You Want in Life When Computers Are Required, for computer lovers and Luddites. Natalia, remind us what a Luddite is.
A Luddite is somebody who's not familiar with technology.
Yeah.
Another term they use is newbie, computer newbie.
A newbie? What about somebody who just refuses to be part of technology, to participate in technology?
Well, actually, the techies themselves have a lot of pet names for those kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Can we say them on the radio?
Yes. They call them 404s.
What does that mean?
If you're on a Microsoft system, that's an error message. Somebody said they used the term FOP, acronym.
Yeah.
They said, what was a fop, and he said, that was a friggin' old person. They're dinosaurs,
right.
Fops are lemurs, frisbees, zipperheads.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've gone far enough. Folks, the book is Revenge of the Computer Widow. Natalia, tell us where the book is available.
You can get the book by calling Book Clearing House at 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Natalia.
And you can order it online at geekculture.com.
Geekculture.com. Folks, this would be a great Christmas present for either the widow that you know, the computer widow that you know, or the or the geek, the computer geek that's maybe the bane of your existence. Anyway, it'll be a fun book because there's a lot of funny stuff in here, and there's a lot of very poignant stuff in here, and a lot of good information. And as I said, I think it's a watershed work. And Natalia, I want to congratulate you again. I know I've done this before, but I want to congratulate you on an excellent book.
The book is also useful for somebody who wants a job in the high-tech area,
mm-hmm.
because it gets into the nitty-gritty of their mindset and the corporate culture you'll get into if you work in high-tech. And it's also helpful for people that want to market or sell to high-tech people. They do make, on average, 64% more money than the average.
64% more.
That's right, but you can't tell when you see them.
Yeah.
Because
of all the polyester?
Clothing is not necessarily one of their priorities.
Right, yeah.
And unlike the millionaire next door who became rich because he was very frugal,
mm-hmm.
Our techie could just be sort of cruising along, working on a software program, and then his company gets bought out. And lo and behold, before he's 30, he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't mean he's going to change his lifestyle after he's made his gazillion.
Right. Well, of course, he instead of buying clothes, he spends his money on equipment.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I found a significant percentage of techies, they spend 5 hours a week just shopping around on the internet, finding out what hardware and software is being developed.
Let's talk about what techies enjoy about their work. Tell us about the geek at work.
The techie, what he or she enjoys is they like to solve the problem. They like to analyze the situation. One of the most challenging jobs, a lot of techies told me there is a network administrator. Because you can imagine all the people on that network in the office, you have to be accommodated for. And that's a very challenging part. They like their job because they have to learn new things all the time. So it's kind of a lot of self-learning.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy that. I mean, you don't want to go into computers if you don't like change, because this work environment is changing all the time. So it's not boring. And they find that very exciting. So constantly challenged.
Well, and you know, the computer world is there are plenty of challenges in the computer world, in the high tech world. There are the challenges that are there just as a result of whatever it is that you built or that you bought hasn't been refined completely yet. And then there are the challenges of the next dragon to slay, the next thing to develop. And so there are two different levels, aren't there?
Definitely. And a lot of people tell me that you have to be really enthusiastic about it. You've got to keep playful. Your enthusiasm up.
Keep playful. That's an interesting way to put it. Stand by, Natalia. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I want to thank all of you who've been signing up for my newsletter. You've been at my new website, and you've been clicking on the newsletter, and you've been clicking on the location on my site to ask a question. I've been getting a lot of those in from the new site. Thank you for using that. And the newsletter is going to be coming out. The first edition of our newsletter is going to be coming out real soon. We're just collecting a few subscribers before we send the first one out. So when you go to my website, be sure on every page, but the home page, there is a button there to subscribe to the newsletter. So check that out and let me know that you're out there, and we'll be sure to get you on our newsletter list. We're talking with Natalia Lee. She's the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Natalia, one of the things on page 105, there's a little paragraph here that I'm glad that you threw in some Macintosh facts and figures in your book, because my audience knows that I'm a Macintosh user. And I want to read this paragraph that's you titled Macintosh Maniacs. The Macintosh computer came up in the artsy world. Mac don't have users. They have bigots. You don't buy a Macintosh computer, you marry them. when you criticize someone who uses a Mac, it's like criticizing their driving, and it becomes very emotional. Have you found that, Natalia, to be true?
Yes, I have.
But Macintosh users, when you criticize someone who uses a Mac, it's like criticizing their driving, and it becomes very emotional. Now, doggone it, Natalia, I don't believe I'm like that. Mac is a very nice machine. This is somebody else has told Natalia this. Mac is a very nice machine. Main thing about the Mac is that certain people absolutely adore it and become amazingly defensive. Well, I don't think I'm the least bit defensive about Macs.
Well,
doggone it.
Get out
of my face about my Mac.
I found Macintosh users to be different than the mainstream computer people.
Yeah.
They enjoyed wine and gourmet cooking and gardening.
Well, yeah, we have to have our Chardonnay, of course.
Whereas the mainstream techies tend to be beer guzzlers. And I don't think gardening was mentioned very often as a hobby.
Right. Well, I thought this was very interesting. You were telling us about how the workplace. Talk to us about the workplace in the Computer Geek.
Well, if we look back in history, when the mainframe computers came out, people working in computers, they could not take their computer home after 5. So that generation of computer techies, a lot of them are married with family. Also, 30 years ago, there are twice as many women working in computers as there are today.
Now that just blows me away. Say that again, Natalia.
There's twice as many women working. About 40% of the computer employees were women, but there's a reason for
it. Wait a minute. I don't think you said the same thing. 20 years ago, there were more women in computers working with computers than there are today?
That's right. And the reason why is, remember in the mainframes they had those key punch cards?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of women were hired for the data entry.
Right. But that's not the same thing as really as working with computers, though.
Well, they
were in those departments, but those people were more stenographers. It was just another level of stenography, wasn't it?
No, they also had to know a little bit about the machines too.
Oh no, I didn't mean. I know some of those ladies, and I didn't mean to. But I mean, as key punch operators, they weren't really as much programmers, were they?
No, but they got in the area called data processing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And administration.
Right, that's what it was called in those days. Data processing, exactly.
That's right.
But why are there fewer women in the computer world today than there were 20 years ago?
The work environment's changed. You know, I think, because I myself, having been trained as an engineer and done a fair amount of research on this, technology is about power. And women might be a little scared of the power. Technology is a powerful mechanism. I say men and women are different, and I know a lot of women say to me that they may have taken hardcore technology courses, the programming, but after a few years, I guess women have a social side. They gravitate towards marketing and sales. That's what I've noticed amongst some of my friends who are techies.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm thinking, women who are married probably have less opportunity to be a geek in the classic definition than men do, because the guys probably, I mean, I know families like this where the guy basically holds up in the little computer room at night, and you know, the wife cooks the meals and does the laundry and bathes the children and does the homework, and you know, if they want the old man, they've got to go in his room, in his cave, as you call it. So it really, the lifestyle of some women, their obligations really sort of preclude them from being a complete geek, doesn't it?
Yes, and also there's been some discussion that the stereotypical geek image has turned women off. But if you look around on the...
There's not too much sexy about being a geek, is there?
No, but I think Kim Belazy is. She runs a big high-tech company in California.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Stand by, Natalia. We've got to take a quick break. First, when we come back, we're going to talk about if GM had developed technology like Microsoft, we would all be driving cars with the following characteristics, and we're going to tell you what those are when we come back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our good friend Natalia Lee is our guest this hour. She's the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Natalia, tell us again where the book's available, please.
The book is available by calling Book Clearinghouse, 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579. Or you can order it online at geekculture.com. That's the website.
Geek Culture, folks. G-E-E-K Culture, one word, .com. Is that right?
That's right, with the www.
Yeah, all the normal stuff on the front and the back. And folks, check that out. You can use your credit card right there on her site, on the Geek Culture site, and or you can talk to a real-life person if you want to at the 800 number, which we'll get her to give out again. This is a great book. It's not available in bookstores in the United States, right, Natalia? Not yet.
That's right.
We're working on that, but not yet. This is a very exclusive book, right, Natalia?
Definitely.
Only people who have that number and that website can buy this book, so it's a very... I'm trying to get the snob appeal going here. Okay. I want to talk about... Natalia's going to talk to us a little bit more about the workplace, geeks in the workplace in a minute. But before we do this, there's a lot of fun things in this book, and I wanted to mention this. If General Motors, had developed technology like Microsoft, we would all be driving cars with the following characteristic. Number one, for no reason whatsoever, your car would crash twice a day. Number two, every time they repainted the lines on the road, you would have to buy a new car. Number three, occasionally your car would die on the freeway for no reason, and you would just accept this, restart and drive on. Number four, occasionally executing a maneuver such as a left turn would cause your car to shut down and refuse to start, in which case you would have to reinstall the engine. Folks, if people who use computers, especially some of the older ones, when they were really having a lot of these little bugs, this is funny. It is to me. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Macintosh would make a car that was powered by the sun, reliable, five times as fast, and twice as easy to drive, but would only run on 5% of the roads. Ooh, that's a cut.
That's the proportion of the Mac users world.
Actually, I think it's more like about 4%. I think they gave us an extra percent there. But we're making a comeback, though. You know Mac's making a comeback, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
You know about that. I mean, Steven Jobs is getting their cornflakes together over there. Okay, there's a bunch more, folks. There's about 13 of those. I won't read the rest of them, but you'll have to buy the book to get the rest of them. But there's a lot of funny things in here, a lot of great, as I said, there's a lot of funny, poignant things in the book that if you are a geek or if you know someone who's a geek, this book will make you laugh and it will inform you. Natalia, talk to us a little bit more about the workplace.
The workplace, I found on average, the average techie I interviewed worked a 60-hour work week, and if not
now,
more.
Does that include the work that they did at home, or that did not include what they did at home?
No, that includes the work they do at home.
Okay, all right.
But
because the reason I said it, I don't really consider myself to be a geek, but I do spend a lot of time at my computer, and I have one at my office, and I have one that I take home with me. So I just wondered if you were talking about both times.
Yeah,
both places.
And for many of them, especially the younger techies, mm-hmm. The computer is a lifestyle. There's no division between work and play.
Sounds like small business to me.
Yeah, but it's you know, like I think one techie was telling me the other day, he says, like, after 6, the first thing he does is he logs onto the internet, and he participates in the chat group he may be on, which may be discussing some technical issues
mm-hmm.
about a software being developed or programming language. I think you're probably aware that the Linux operating system was actually posted on the internet by a university student, and then everybody gets involved with the development.
Yeah, it was free, and they didn't they just basically give away shares in that company? What was that, Red Hat? What was that?
Red Hat. No, Red Hat's the company that's commercializing the operating system, but they let people download a kernel onto their computer
mm-hmm.
and work with it and then debug it. So it's created collaboratively, and that's a trend that a lot of software programs are being developed collaboratively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a network program.
Yep, that's the reason they call it the web, the World Wide Web. Talk to us about what techies advise parents about fostering children's computer quotient. I think that's the term you use.
Yeah, one thing I found really interesting, you know, some of the techies have a love-hate relationship with technology, and they wanted me to get the message out in the book, do not stop teaching children art and music.
Do not stop teaching children art and music.
There's a tendency for school boards to say, oh my goodness, we have a tight budget. Should we buy a computer or do we cut our art and music programs? Some people think, okay, if I put the kid on the computer at a very young age, he's going to become very computer literate.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the techies say, no, they've got to learn to socialize, mm-hmm. and they need to be creative. And
so this is almost don't do as I do, do as I say.
Yes, and also technology changes so fast. One techie pointed out to me, you teach a child an operating system when he's five, by the time he finishes high school, he'll gone through two more.
Yeah.
So what's the rush?
Yeah, exactly. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit also about techie personalities. What are their pet peeves? What shocking things Natalia found out about them? It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. We'll be right back to wrap up the hour with Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. We are back to 4 After the Hour. John Lee is on the board this week. John, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with our good friend Natalia Lee, Revenge of the Computer Widow. And this is an outstanding book, folks. I recommend you check it out. You need to buy this book if you know someone who's a geek. If you know someone who lives with a geek, this would be an outstanding Christmas gift. It'd be one of those Christmas gifts that not only was a little kind of fun, the title itself would be fun. They'll laugh when they see the title and they get the book. And there are a lot of things in the book that they will enjoy. There are a lot of humorous things in the book, but there are also there's a lot of good information in here. A lot of things that they'll learn about themselves and about the people that they live with and that they're around who are computer geeks, and the people who and things about the people who live with those folks that you'll learn a lot more about. Revenge of the Computer Widow. Natalia, I'd like for you to give the phone number out again one more time and the website.
You can get it at Book Clearinghouse. That's 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579. Or you can order it online at geekculture.com.
Okay, that's geekculture, G-E-E-K, culture, one word, .com. Normal stuff on the front and the back. Okay.
And it makes a great present for somebody who's studying computers or wants a career in computers,
yes,
or has to work with these people or sell to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what about the techie personalities? What did you find out about their pet peeves?
Their pet peeves?
Mm-hmm.
Only a very small minority didn't have any pet peeves. Their first pet peeve was Bill Gates and Microsoft.
Why did they have a pet peeve about Bill Gates?
They feel that the kind of software he produces isn't of high quality. I mean, I realize now when you're not on a Microsoft operating system, but it crashes quite frequently. Like the computer screen freezes up, and then you have to press Alt-Control-Delete to get out of it.
Yeah.
And
my Macintosh doesn't do that.
Yeah, the Macintosh doesn't crash like that. So I actually thought it's just part of the daily operations.
Hmm.
So there's frustration. They also feel that the software is not well developed. Too many bugs, that kind of stuff.
But he was able to build it and deliver it to the masses.
That's right.
And at least, you know, some people may say it's sort of like democracy. You know, democracy is a terrible form of government, but it's better than all the rest available. And so, maybe that's the attitude that Microsoft would have. Yeah, we got... You know, it's not the best system in the world, but it's better than all the rest that's available to everybody in the world. So,
right.
Anyway, what are some other pet peeves?
Well, even amongst the techie users, they relate strongly to the operating system they're working on.
Yeah.
Or, for example, I found a lot of the Unix computer users.
Right.
They really feel that, you know, they're working on the best operating system, and they're really proud of that. And they're the real hardcore techies.
Sounds a little snobby to me.
Yes, they do have a little Yeah, even within the computer community, depending on the operating system you're working on.
Natalia, I got 15 seconds. What's shocking? What was something shocking you found out about computer geeks? 10 seconds.
10 seconds? Well, yeah. I don't know if it was shocking, but it was surprising. Only 60% of computer geeks were willing to tell me who they are, their personality strengths and weaknesses, but 90% were willing to tell me what kind of underwear they wore, or if they wore any. So 4% of computer techies don't wear any underwear.
I don't want to know anymore. That's shocking enough for today. Natalia, we got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. You're going to be back next week, and we're going to talk some more about your book. See you then. Natalia Lee, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.